Let me just stand because I'm accustomed to standing when I'm speaking. Even though anybody else who wishes to sit might do that. I shared out a number of topics yesterday that we're going to be discussing today. I'm starting with one of them, which is titled, The Minister is First a Disciple. This is our minister's meeting for this year. And all the messages or the discussions are directed at those who are engaged in preaching the word of God. Now, even though we are all ministers as believers, but we are directing this primarily. Anybody else will be blessed by the words if they listen to them. But primarily, it's directed at those who stand and speak the word of God to other people, expecting them to listen and be blessed by those words. Anyone who stands in the position, and it is a very powerful position, really. It's not an office you just take on lightly. And these days, I'll speak from my heart, you know. I observe a lot of things around. And sometimes I look at people and I feel very, very sad that maybe you don't realize that this is preaching. Like if you're a preacher, last year when we discussed here, I talked about the truth-equipped minister. We still have all those, our teachings of last year, available in digital format. You know, I feel like a lot of people don't realize that you don't come up to preach and you can crack jokes. I do that a lot. But the whole thing is not a joke. Do you understand? It's about telling the truth. And that's what it is. It's not about pleasing anybody. It's about telling the truth. So any one of us involved in that, she must bear this in mind. You don't use that for any other purpose. Preaching is not to settle scores. I talked about that time. I'm talking about the truth-equipped minister. It's not to make yourself feel good. It's not to practice your English. It's not to make money. It's not to raise money. It's not even to compel people to do that which is right, if you, even though you know it is good to do what is right. It sounds ironic for me to make that statement. Preaching is just to tell the truth of the word of God. That word is profitable for reproof. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, the Bible says. But the aim of preaching is just to declare the counsel of God. Once a young man, very close person to me, he was in a relationship with a young woman. They are married now, have kids. She was a very baby Christian, so he wanted to help her grow. So he came to me and said, which kind of book should I recommend so that, you know, to build the woman up? I told him, what do you think you are? Holy Spirit. I mean, if you find a wife, no be so. Just relax. As if anything blesses you, you share with her. If you have any truth you know, share with her. But you can't force her into a school to grow to your level because you won't marry her. You are not the Holy Spirit too. So preaching is not to build your wife up to your level. That's what I'm trying to explain. Preaching is just to declare the truth of God. You know, there was something else, just to explain the irony there and clarify it. There was something else what Chimba said when I heard it. It was so, I mean, incisive. One of those deep truths you hear and you shout, wow, I never thought about that. He said Jesus didn't come to save the world. No? When you say, what? He said, no. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. It was the Father that was saving the world. That Jesus didn't, in quotes, care about the world. If you like, die. If you like, live. I'm only here to do the will of the Father. The Father is saving the world. Fine. So we do the saving of the world. Since this is our part in saving the world. If the Father has said, come and condemn the world, he will have come and said, all right, all of you are condemned. Because his own was to do the will of the Father. And that's how preaching is. Preaching is just to declare the truth of the word of God. That word builds some people up and it breaks some people down. That's just the way it is. It's good for words to be encouraging, but the word of God is not primarily to encourage people. It's primarily to just tell the truth. It encourages some people. It discourages other people. That's just the way it is. So as a preacher, you must understand what's most important. One of the things I have, you know, you keep getting better. In my preaching, one of the things I have had to overcome in recent times, and God has been helping me. I confess it to God in prayer and it's working. If I'm preaching, and I know your personal issues, and I know what I'm about to say is under inspiration, but you will think I'm talking about you. Before, I won't say it. But now, I don't care. Think I'm talking about you. It concern me. Am I talking about you? No. I'm just preaching. At times I draw back from saying things that I know will offend some people. But these days, it's risky. As a preacher, you don't do that. Since you did not set out to do it. You know, something happened recently. It was very funny. And these are the kind of things I'm talking about, just to illustrate this. I went to preach in one village. A young man from that village is trying to get revival into his place. In fact, I was surprised. Their hall was full. People were sitting outside. So I was present to see like a youth convention. It wasn't a Christian program. It was just a village program. All right? Just in his village, what we would call a town in that our area there, and the villages around. So he gathered everybody, and the Igwe was the chairman. So I was speaking, and I now described, maybe you appear in a very high car like a Lincoln Navigator. But when we came out, my right hand man, I said, Oga, now Lincoln Navigator Igwe Kariko. I said, but I didn't see, I knew when he arrived. But this is where he parked. You know, I went and used Lincoln Navigator to hear people. So he was like, oh, finish. He said, ah, okay, now Lincoln Navigator, Igwe Karikom. I said, oh my God. But I don't talk and finish. I don't preach finish. I left the place. You know, but of course, I saw the young man a few weeks. I said, how are you? I said, Igwe is always asking after you, that he was so excited. You know, it's the word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, that's one of the things I overcame recently. I tried, even that one, I didn't see it, but just to illustrate what I'm talking about. Sometimes you want to say something, you say, hey, this man will think I'm talking about him. I pray to God. I still care personally, but as a preacher, I've tried not to care. If it looks like the word is going to offend it, let it offend you, because I didn't have you in mind. You understand? And I'm careful not to put anybody in mind when I'm preaching. Because the word is about truth. It's about what? Truth. It's not about how I feel. You know, sometimes we don't realize it. Once we use the word to get good results in the lives of people, we start saying things, trying to compare somebody to behave properly. You may not realize sometimes it's witchcraft. You are using the word of God to do witchcraft. If you want to tell somebody something, say it to his face. Don't get up there and start preaching, hoping that he will hear it. That's not right. All right? We just say things because they are true. That's the primary job of a preacher of the gospel. There are different aspects to preaching. We know that there's different anointings with which people preach. There are those that teach. I'm one of those that believe that the title pastor and teacher, they are the same thing. And that's why Paul said it like that. He gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some as evangelists. He put the word as there. And he gave some as pastors and teachers. He didn't break it. He gave it as one title. All right? And God said, I will give you, if you read Jeremiah chapter 3, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge, I will feed you with understanding. So that's what they do. That's my own understanding. Though I personally don't pastor a church, that's why I accept the title. That's the apparent fact that I've been called that from the way in school. But based on that understanding, that's why, even though I don't pastor a church, but because I teach regularly, that's why I accept that title. That's what I understand from the scriptures. So there are different ways. There are those who are apostles. A lot of those we call evangelists. My opinion is that they are what the Bible calls apostles, all right? And evangelist is more of, that's the way we understand the scriptures. Of course, we all know what prophets are. That's easier to, not the kind of jokers we have these days, though, you know? Anybody always prophesying good, it shall be well with you. It doesn't have to be a prophet. It's an exhorter. In fact, it's more like an evangelist, all right? The good, carry the title prophet all over the place. A prophet, I learned most about that from Kenneth Hagin. Has to be somebody who has special revelations from God. You understand? Serious visitations that are incontrovertible. A prophet's word is not to be played with. It's not just, I just feel like telling you this. Anybody can feel like. Holy Spirit can move anybody. But when a prophet speaks, there are words you can't doubt, even if you wanted to doubt them. I tell you, the word of the Lord came to me saying. It's not, now I just perceive in my spirit. Anybody can perceive in a spirit. You understand my point? When a prophet speaks, either he had a clear dream, had a clear vision, had a visitation from an angel, the Lord appeared to him or her, or he had this strong word, you hear the word. The person almost thought that who's talking. After a while, they get accustomed to that voice. So that voice wakes them up at 2 a.m. They don't want to ask who's talking, they know who's talking. They get their pen and paper, they are ready to write. When they come forth, you don't play with their words. You don't play with their words at all. Those are prophets, all right? Now, I said, my understanding, the apostles are those who They often break what we call evangelists these days. People call Ronald Bungie an evangelist. I don't believe that. It's what the Bible calls an apostle. You know, talk about Billy Graham. Those are apostles, the way I understand them. Those are the big prominent ones, you know. But people go to villages, they go to new areas. You know, it's not a big title. People think it's a big title. What I mean by big in that, it doesn't mean you're a big man. It just means that's your job. So you can have apostles that everybody already knows about, and you can have apostles that very few people know about. You understand my point? So the apostles like that, but what characterizes them, again, is that they tend to take the gospel to those who have not been reached. That's the most important thing. Yes, they tend to go to new areas that people have not gone to before. Meanwhile, evangelists, my understanding, again, is that it's not, you know, because Philip is the only one that was really given as an evangelist, and people saw the things he did. And I said, those are the jobs of an evangelist. I really don't think so. The word evangelist, let me just summarize it. What most of the people will call, if you're somebody who motivates people in the church, that's what the Bible calls an evangelist. They encourage you, you know, that kind of, it shall be well with you, you will do well, you can do it, things like that. They just come with words that charge you, and when you finish preaching, you want to run and go and leap over a wall, you know, that kind of thing. Those are what the Bible calls evangelists, and the rest, of course, are pastors and teachers, all right? There are other kinds of assignments in the body of Christ beyond this. But what marks this set of people out is that they are the ones that generally help the others. They are like the, I call them the filling stations of the body of Christ. You know, a car is good, can take you from here to Enugu, where I came from, and all of that. But you have to stop and service your car. You have to stop and fuel your car. You have to ensure that your car is running. And these are the people that do that. So that's why they are so important in the body of Christ. Individually, they are not different from other Christians, but those offices are crucial, because without them, the body of Christ does not work. In fact, you see, the word of God to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel succeeded because of the prophesying of two prophets. You know, he said, these are the sons of all, that is the anointed ones who stand before the Lord of hosts. That is, these are the people that hear from God and tell Zerubbabel what to do. He couldn't succeed without their prophesying. All right, and that's the type of what goes on in the body of Christ. Without the constant infusion of the anointing of God into the body of Christ through these ministers of the gospel, the whole body will crumble. That's a matter of fact. It will. No matter how well you try, no matter how well you think you love God, the body of Christ will crumble if you don't have these ministries in their proper places. Because the way he did it, let's just read that. Where is that now? You see from Zechariah chapter 4, you see from verse 8, also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. Now, he talked about those things, and they now went to verse 11. He said, and I said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lampstand and on its left? And I answered the second time and said, what are the two olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes which empty? Because you know he has seen a vision earlier. If we back up to around verse 1, he said, the angel who was speaking with me returned. He asked him, verse 2, he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I see, behold, a lampstand all of gold, and its bowl on the top of it, and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it, and also two olive trees by it, one on the right and one on the left. I'm just making it short so I can hurry. Then the angel was now speaking with him. That's what, now back to where we were, verse 11. And I said, what are these two olive trees on the right of the lamps and on his left? And I answered the second time and said, what are the two olive trees which are beside the two golden pipes, which empty the golden oil, please notice that, from themselves? So he answered me, saying, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, that means very important for us to understand. There's a principle here. I taught on it sometime, I think 2 years ago. I can't even remember the series then. But I titled the message, it was in a long series, I titled the message, The Sons of All. Now, the literal Hebrew there says the sons of all. That doesn't say the two anointed ones. But what he was trying to say, I don't know whether they are the ones that are anointed or they are the ones anointing, but the literal Hebrew is they are the sons of all. What that implied, in fact, I actually identified the two prophets. I gave them my names based on my own understanding, all right? That these are prophets, people that he knew, all right? These are the people that were prophesying into the life of Zerubbabel. You understand? The Bible said that he succeeded by the prophesying of those two prophets. Their names were mentioned. That is, it's as those people, they stand before the Lord, all right? And then what they are doing is that they are tapping from God and they are conducting their oil from the, which they tap from the Lord into the lamp. And that's how come the lamp is burning. And if indeed we are the light of the world, what he was saying is that the only way we keep burning is if oil keeps flowing. And the way the oil flows is simple, is when the ministers continue to minister. In the Old Testament, the prophets were the ones that described specifically. But if you look at the New Testament, the totality of the ministers of the Word of God is what is being typified here. That if they don't continue to teach and preach and minister to the people, after a while, they are all dims. Their light will dim because the oil will dry up. It's an assignment. It's a responsibility. You know, personally, you know, as I'm speaking, I'll give my own experience over the last many years ministering the Word of God, all right, as examples. Sometimes people ask me, I have friends, they love me, they want me to do well, they love the body of Christ, they want the body of Christ to do well. And they say things like, why don't you do ministry like this? And there was a time, I won't call it temptation, but it was a lot of trouble in my head. People say, you know, you do your ministry, you meet on Sundays and all of that. I said no. But one of my friends said something to me while I was discussing with him, Topsy. Topsy said that what they're asking you to do, many people are already doing it. And what you are doing, not many people are doing it. You understand? Now, what was he trying to say? There is something that you are supposed to feel. Let me put it like this. There's a kind of oil you are supposed to produce. If you don't produce it, there's a kind of light that the body of Christ will never have. Do you understand that? That is, if I decide that, okay, I'm supposed to be, let's just use an example, olive oil, all right? But what people buy mostly is groundnut oil and sunflower oil for cooking, all right? Yes, you become groundnut oil. People will use it to cook. But when they need olive oil for something else, it will not be available. Let's use the Bible expression now. If they need it for dressing of wounds, then their wounds will not be dressed. Because you feel like people are buying more of cooking oil, but you are supposed to be wound dressing oil. You're not doing that. For that reason, the whole body now begins to suffer. And we must be careful. God has identified something, and today we'll talk about it. I may not be the one to speak about it, but each person has an assignment. It's predetermined. God knew the kind of things you will, in fact, let me say, he determined the kind of things you will have to say, the kind of messages you will have to preach, and the body of Christ needs it, you know. When I started preaching, after a while, I felt that, if I want to preach a series, I said, I've done this thing before now. After a while, I said, listen, go and listen to Kenneth Hagin. I can identify for you 5 books by Hagin, and maybe 3-4 sets of audio, and you've heard everything he has to say. I just picked this book. Okay, let me explain to like 6 or 7. You read those books, you have read everything Kenneth Hagin has to say. He preached for over 60 years. You've heard everything. There are a few tapes, maximum of 20 hours. You listen to them, you've heard everything. In fact, if you listen on that side, the same stories, you understand? So why did he keep preaching? Because the oil must be fresh all the time. You may think it's the same words, but each time he shows up, it's a fresh oil. It's a fresh oil. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said, because you see, when you see a friend like, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, why should he be ashamed? There's a reason. The man has been saying the same thing for a long time, so it means everybody don't hear him. But right now, Banky, I admit to have joined St. Paul. I am not ashamed of saying the same thing. I'm teaching a series right now in our school of prayer, which I titled How Faith Works in Prayer. And as I start teaching, I'll tell you, I preach this message, I'll give you the message where I first preach it, but it wouldn't concern me. I will preach it again. After a while, I've noticed that I say about the same. Listen to my radio messages. I can have 10 different series, each one having 15 messages inside. By the time, look, put everything together, you know, they pass like 5 sentences that are common to them, and that's all I'm supposed to. And I'm not tired of saying it. I will continue saying it. If you always want to share a new revelation, you will soon start telling lies. No, you will soon start telling lies. No, this is a revelation that I shared last year. In this year, I need a new thing. You know, the story I like to tell all the time, very important, is the story of, I don't know the young man's name, but it was in this man's church, D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody asked the young man, anytime you come across to the U.S., he's a British guy. I think so. When he wants to cross the ocean, come to my church, maybe you preach for me. The young man showed up at his doorstep one day, and he had to honor the, you know, the offer I made earlier. So he just told the wife, he was traveling for something, told the wife, just that small hall, if people will come. Make it long story short, if people came first day, next day, the place filled out. So the wife told him, because they talked one way, that we had to move to the main hall. He said, what's the young man preaching? He said, he takes the same text every night. So he came and met the young man taking the same text every night. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. The next night, the young man will take the same text. After the young man taking the text for a long time, he now called and said, please, over dinner one day, say, just start with it. He's an older man. How long do you plan to keep on taking your text from that John 3:16? He said, oh, till everybody believes it. D.L. Moody said, that thing, experience with that young man changed his own ministry. Yeah. The boy was drawing crowds he could never dream of. So he asked him, what have I been preaching? He had been preaching, you are in trouble. God's going to get you. The young man said, for God so loved the world. This guy preached the same thing every night while he was there, and the crowd kept on increasing. What I'm trying to say is, no, we're not trying to say something new. Each person, there's an all that if you don't bring in, the body of Christ will suffer. So one young man came to me once I was preaching. His friend goes to Deeper Life. I went to do a program in Abakiliki. Just, we'll do that. We used to do that. They have not done for a while. Just go to a place, hire a hall, advertise, and then just go teach and then leave. So his friend said that, I don't know what Pastor Kumi has been teaching them, but he was hoping that, I said, oh, like, I'm not talking on the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it means, because that word, Holy Spirit, you know, there's so many things to say about it. So I don't know what the boy wanted to hear. So he was begging me that, as if to impress his friend that his own pastor too knows everything. And when I tell him, I don't know what I told him specifically, but what was in my mind is that, if you want to hear that side of the Holy Spirit, go to Deeper Life. That is, I can't be Deeper Life and be Pastor Banky at the same time. I don't preach that. It doesn't mean I don't listen to it. It doesn't mean I don't hear. It doesn't even mean I don't know it. I just don't preach it. There are things I don't do. I left struggling in an area for, you know, for other people to do. That is like that area. If you can do it, you do it. What I preach, once I mount the, in fact, I just have things in my mind. I study for the day, beat, write a few scriptures down. Once I get up there, another thing I have learned personally in recent times, once my mouth starts flowing, I don't stop it. Which is very nice in Kingdom of Ministry, because people come every week, twice a week. So, like the school of prayer that we're on, now, how faith works in prayer. There are three things I want to say. I have done 4 days. I've only said one. Last time I managed to squeeze in the second one for the last 15 minutes. Last time I just opened my mouth, I said, if you go for deliverance here, your problem will double. And I began to explain what I meant. I talked and talked that I was trying to emphasize to Christians that you're walking, you're having challenges in life. It doesn't mean you have generational curses that need to be broken. You need to learn the word of God. So I kept on explaining. After a while, I said, there are some people here, I just started feeling, that's why I'm talking, that hear the word of God. That deliverance you have planned, go for it first. Your problem will triple. I preached prayer after and said, hey, what was I wanted to say today? And I preached for the last 15 minutes on my top. You must be ordered, you must be, no. There's an oil I must produce. You understand my point? I must let that oil flow. Because without it, there are people whose lives will not improve. I just have to let it flow. I want everybody to understand that if you're a preacher of the word of God, that's how it is. You're not there to shine. You're not there to sound smooth. You are there to tap oil from God and feed it into the lives of people. You say, who are those who are emptying their oil through the golden pipe into the bowl that's on top of the lamp? He said, you don't know who they are? He said, no, my Lord. He said, those are the two sons of oil. That is, they were created to tap oil from God and conduct oil to the people. And that's what preaching the gospel, that's the summary of it. It is tapping oil from God. It is feeding it to the people. And we are talking in this, our short meetings, about being faithful in doing that. That's what the preaching of the word of God is. We must know that it's not about showmanship. It is not about looking very serious. It is not about answering titles. It is about ensuring that oil is being delivered. What is ministry? The way I understand it, ministry is that you effectively do this thing that we are saying. Each person has his own way, the way God called him, what he has to say, how he's going to do it. But my personal example, that's using my own life as an example, what I've learned over time, last year, like, in fact, that's why I shared this to those who don't have it, can just pick a copy, you know, of it. This is one of the things we just started last week, last year, towards the end of the year. It's supposed to be monthly, but we have not been very consistent, but we hope to pick it up. And as I just write and just give out publications, let the word keep going out. The word that was ringing in my heart, especially around Lukaf last year and after the year, is the word outreach. How do we ensure that this word, this oil, is being fed to people? Thank God for technology. That was when I joined Twitter. And I have a number of followers on Twitter now. Every day or every 2 days, I drop something. Once I'm blessed, something just drops in my heart. I quickly tweet it. You understand? The idea is, keep on hearing the word. Keep on hearing the word. That's just the idea. Start printing things like this. Our tracks are still going out. If you look at this, because ministry is people. It's not an arrangement. It's not an organization. You are a ministry. Are you getting my point? What we have around it, like, around me, I have Kingdom Word Ministries. Let me just drop that for people who have to understand. There's a difference between a church, really, really, strictly speaking, and a ministry. These days, we confuse it too. A lot of people, their ministries are called churches, and I'm not saying it is wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But you have to understand the concept of church, generally speaking, and ministry. A church, a proper local assembly, can have many ministries inside it. Do you understand? Like, you come to Kingdom Word Ministries. It's not a local assembly. It's not a church. For that reason, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I don't try to do, let's rotate who will preach. If you wanted to rotate who will preach, go to the Anglican church down the road. Are you getting one of those? There's nothing wrong with it as a local assembly. But if you can't climb up to Kingdom Word Ministries, you came there to hear Banky talk. You didn't come there to hear his wife. You didn't come there to hear his assistants. You didn't come there. They can help me. Maybe I'm not around. They lead prayer. They do stuff like that. But those who come there primarily come to hear me talk. They don't log on to my website to hear Kenneth Hagin. They don't log on to my website to hear John Gillick. Don't log on to my website to listen to Bishop Oyedepo. If they click on my website, they expect to hear my voice. Why? I am a ministry. Are you getting my point? If I click on Miles Morrow's website, I expect to hear his voice. If I get there and hear, oh, this guy is a great man of God, and he has heard another accent, the guy's from Ghana. I'll ask for his own website, but please carry him away from Miles Morrow. Can I recommend him? I recommend people. In fact, there was a time, Andrew Womack's message, some of them blessed me so much. I have about 2,000 people on my mailing list. In fact, yesterday, my wife and I were calculating, because when I have new messages uploaded, I send mails around. And I had a field uploaded. We're not calculating the number of people who downloaded, because in one day, they downloaded 120-something gigabytes of messages in 24 hours. And I, wait, what are they downloading? And that was when I sent the mail that, our latest messages are up, and I had recommended some old messages. I would just did a fair estimate that at least 500 people in that 24 hours went to download messages. There's a reason we came to that conclusion. You understand? So when they come to my website, they want to hear my voice because I am in ministry. That's what I am. It is not pride. That's just what I am. So like this magazine, I put a lot of other things inside, but clearly half at least of what is written in here, I write them. Whoever picks it up expects to hear what I have to say. I try to educate people. For example, I can put something in on, Demo Shakan has been a great blessing. So one of my co-workers in Kingdom World Ministry, his name is Chooks. He took the book and summarized it, and we have it in here. And that one wrote something else on being an excellent marketer. I picked something from Charisma Magazine, I put it in there. But every other thing, and except a chapter from one of my books is in there. I wrote the main article titled The Limits of God. A whole page I wrote on prayer. Just led people in prayer. I did. Different things. The story of the Rosetta Stone here. Using it to explain how the New Testament explains the Old Testament. I did all of that. It's my job. At the back of it, the introduction to my latest book. It was not finished before I came for Lukaf. You'll have seen it. All right? I put it in there. Why? I am a ministry. There's oil that I carry. Not the oil upon my head per se now, but the oil that's been channeled through me. And that's my job. I must ensure that the oil is channeled. And that's one thing we must bear in mind as preachers. That's our duty. You're not, look, those who are here, I'm not talking to administrators here. I'm talking to those who are preaching. That's the thing. There is something God wants to send to somebody, and he has to conduct it through you. And that's why he has chosen you. You must understand, it's a very serious job. It's not a joke. It's not something you muck around with. The illustration I use all the time was when my mother asked me that, how far was your private practice as a pathologist? I said, I don't do it anymore. She said, why? I said, I don't have time. Why don't you have time? I said, my ministry takes most of the time I have, so something has to go. So I let that one go. That's about ministry doesn't pay you money. I said, so what are we going to do now? I said, this is the reason why God allowed you to conceive me. This is the reason why you gave birth to me safely. And I did not die at birth. This is the reason why I grew to this level. Whether it pays or not is his personal problem. The payment has his own problem. But we must do this assignment. This is the reason why he gave us life, why he gave us life. This is what we must accomplish. I say this all the time and I mean it. There are many people that will not be blessed in life if I don't talk. There are many people that their problems will finish them if I don't open my mouth. All right? There are billionaires that are being made just because I preach. And for them to leave the level of being thousandaires into millionaires and into billionaires is going to be because they constantly are feeding. Or I am being faithful in tapping the oil that is from God. I'm standing in his presence and conducting that into the alarms, because that's what it is. Fruitfulness is shining, that the alarms can shine. We must never forget that. That's what ministry is about. Ministry is nothing else. That's what it's about. Your life, you are donating. God is just using you as a pipe. Let me put it like that. You are being faithful in conducting the word and the oil of God into the lives of people. That's what ministry is. Now, having said that, the main thing I actually am trying to say this morning is talking about the fact that the minister is first a disciple. I'll read a few scriptures to lay the foundation for the things I want to say in that regard. The first one I would like to read is from the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 14. For me, this thing is one of the most important things a preacher, a minister of the word, must bear in mind, what I'm sharing this morning. There are very few things that are that important in the person's life. The book of Mark, chapter 3, is where I'm going to read from first. Now, this was when he wanted to choose his disciples, or his apostles, more like. From verse 13, the Bible says, and he went up on the mountain and summoned those who himself wanted, and they came to him. The Bible says that in verse 14, and he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. Please notice it. First, there was a crowd around him. There's always a crowd around the Lord Jesus Christ. There was always a crowd. Then two, you see, the groups of people around Jesus, let me just divide them. One, there's a multitude, the crowd around him. Then amongst the multitude, there are these disciples. Who are the disciples? When you pastor a church, you come on Sunday. The church is big, Nigerian standard. So you have 2,000 people. 2,000 is a lot in Nigeria. That's a multitude. Amen? That's what they are. Not every one of them is a disciple. Who are disciples? Those are those who are committed to learning. That's what disciples are. All right? Now, amongst these disciples, the Lord Jesus now picked a few. 12, he said here. And why did he pick these 12? He said he wanted them to be with him. And that's what I'm talking about. First of all, he didn't pick them from amongst the crowd. He picked them from amongst the disciples. If you go and read that, in chapter 4, when he was teaching about the sower going to sow and all of that, the story he told, because he didn't want anybody, he wasn't really trying to impress the crowd, just wanted to tell them something that they would go home with and be able to discuss it when they get home, that we had something to do. When he finished, those who wanted to learn from him knew that everything he said didn't make sense. The rest just were happy to hear it. Man, that message was powerful, and they went home. The disciples, the Bible says, they came aside, all right, and began to ask him, all right, that what, if you see it in verse 10 of chapter 4 of Mark, as soon as he was alone, this is after talking about the sower went forth to sow, some fell by the wayside, some were scourged, some had no root, all those stories. The Bible says in verse 10, as soon as he was alone, his followers, that's the word, the disciples, that's what he called followers here, along with the 12. So not just the 12, the other people were following him. They began asking him about the parables because they were eager to learn. And the thing was not clear. So they were not happy with the fact that they heard something that wasn't clear. They came afterward to ask questions. Those are what the Bible calls disciples. Now, from amongst these disciples, did Jesus pick his 12? All right? And the reason why he picked those 12 was so that they would be closer with him. Now, that's what I want to talk about. First of all, that they will be with him, and then he will be able to send them out. That's why I called my message this morning, a minister is first a disciple. One of the advantages we had, me as an individual, being one of the we, is that when we started in university those days, University of Benin, Light of Christ Community, we're not thinking about being preachers, most of us. Not at all. You didn't even think that one day somebody would tell you to come and preach. But the word of faith was just flowing. Are you getting my point? The word of faith was flowing, and we wanted to learn it. These days, the problem I have a lot of times is that a lot of people they want to be preachers. Let me say it here. You don't start from wanting to be a preacher. The first thing you start with is, I want to be a disciple. I want to know. You want to preach? No. Well, it's good if you feel you have a calling, all right? But the primary thing is, I want to know. You know, that's the primary thing. A preacher must, first of all, before he talks about I'm preaching, I want to share what I'm looking for, open doors, is I want to know. Know what? Everything. If you hear them teaching on marriage, open your ears. You want to know. Not just I've heard it before. There was a time I was speaking with a man. He said he doesn't read any book he has read before. I'm like, how do you learn anything? It's not possible to read a book once and know everything that's inside. I hardly buy books I've not seen before, unless I know the author. Most of the books I buy, I've read them before, and I must own them. There was a time I had a book. One of my friends borrowed it, tore a bit of it. I bought another one. I now have two of them. Because the book is so important to me, and I keep reading it and reading and reading. There are books I had, I don't have them anymore. I wonder, where is this book? I go and buy another one. Why? Am I trying to preach? Not at all. Even though I'm a preacher. But the thing inside the book is not something I'm trying to preach. I actually know the letters. But that oil must continue to flow into my life. Many things I know about, I don't preach about because it's not important to my own kind of oil delivery. My oil factory doesn't need it, you know. I don't deliver that kind of oil. But my life needs it. I hope you get my point. For example, the truck that carries petrol does not use petrol. You know that. It uses diesel. He's an engineer, you understand? But his job is to carry petrol. So there are times, all right, I'm imbibing something, but that's not what I'm delivering. I mean, I preach the gospel that Jesus heals and all of that. But if you listen to my message, it's not the core of what I preach. It's not. It's not my doing. It's just something I just found out. It's not the core. It's not the center. But if I see a Kenneth Hagin book on divine health, I buy it because I need it. Are you getting my point? I need it. I have a book on marriage a bit. That's because I used to drop tips here and there. My guy said, I'll put these things together now. So finally, I agreed and I put it inside a book. I like to learn about marriage. There's one UniBen alumnus also who preaches on marriage. I like to listen to him. He's interesting. You learn things. All right? But I'm not learning them so I can go and teach them. No. I learn them because I'm a man. I have a wife. That's the primary reason. What I'm preaching may be different from that. What am I saying? A minister is first of all himself a disciple. That thing is so crucial. Sometimes I talk to preachers, let me just get practical again. I'm shocked at the books they have not read. In fact, in one of my magazines, all of us here, please, pay attention to it. In fact, in this particular edition, that's the first one for 2013. The main article being the limits of God. If you go to the last page, verse chapter, that's from the back. The back is page 12. If you go to page 11, you see books that will save your life. I actually sent the email around to everybody in my mailing group. And I specifically recommended these books for those who are preachers. There are many other books in life to read, but I specifically recommended these for those who are preachers. Apart from one, which is number 5, How to Work for God, there are 9 books there recommended. I did not write any one of them, apart from that number 5. All the other ones are written by Kenneth Hagin. The titles include He Gives Unto Men, that's Kenneth Hagin, Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. I read that one when I was in university. I bought a second copy again about 2 years ago. Then Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. I Believe in Visions by Kenneth Hagin. The one I wrote there is How to Work for God. It's the only one. The other one is God's Generals by Robert Sliadon. Following God's Plan for Your Life, also Kenneth Hagin. Towards Excellence in Life and Ministry by David Oyedepo. And I particularly like The Happiest People on Earth by Demos Shakarian. If you read the second paragraph after that, the list there, I said, recommend them to your pastor. He's not too big to learn. Actually, I wrote this article, I sent it by an email around earlier, specifically to preachers. If you go to the left column, the last paragraph, I said, if you're a minister or you have a minister friend, I advise you to get and read these books listed below. They will keep you safe, help you please God, and attain true success in life and ministry. They may just be your passport to a long life. Now, sometimes I talk to preachers, I'm amazed at books they have not read. Books that are out there. I think we should be very, very informed as preachers. It's not just, now I'm not even talking about being informed in secular things. No. That's important, but that's not the primary thing. I said that the oil that you are producing is not primarily for you. But you need all the other people have produced so that you'll be able to do your own delivery. The truck that delivers petrol to filling stations must have his engine oil. He's not carrying engine oil. He must have his own diesel. Alright? He must have everything together so he can do his own delivery effectively. The primary thing about being a preacher, which I want to leave with us today, is that the preacher himself is first, not second, first of all, a disciple. People tell me, how do you prepare to preach? I just close my eye like this. I said, what do I want to talk about? No, God is my witness. I can't remember making more than 2 lines of notes in years. The one I'm talking about today, if I show you the notes I made on it, you will be surprised. It's just the way I do things. It's precisely, okay, no notes, just 3 scriptures I want to quote. What do? I read all the time. I wake up during the night sometimes, I just take a book and start reading. I see a book that will bless me, I buy it, I read. When I want to prepare a message, literally, what am I going to say? Oh, then 2 thoughts drop in my mind. I sometimes write them down. Other times I don't write them down. There are not too many rights to put in the head. So I put them in the head and I go there and preach. But while I'm preaching, typically, I quote so many people. Refer to many portions of the scriptures. I keep quoting people. I've read them. I've read John G. Lake inside out. I read Kenneth Hagin inside out. You know, the people I have read and I keep reading. I've read all kinds of books. I keep reading. Once, I'll tell you this story to make you laugh. I heard this recently. They say a young woman, relating with a young man, that, you know, the man is, he wants to marry, so he's, you know what I mean? He's just pursuing a woman he wants to marry. So the woman was green in his own. So one day she decided to go to the place where he lived, just to go and look around. Funny enough, he didn't go to see whether he has television. Or, you know, some girls, they crazy for head. That is like, you want to see whether the man has television or has motoka. Now, motoka, you won't marry. This girl is very, very smart. They didn't tell me who it is, but apparently somebody I know. So he got to the guy who looked around. Finally asked the guy. The guy is an assistant pastor in one church in Enugu there. He said that, where are your books? The guy said, I don't need books. Everything is in my head. The guy didn't say anything, no. Just finished the visit and left. I never talked to him again. That is, I'm not talking to you again. That budding relationship died there. Why? Because he made a statement. I don't need the books. Everything is in my head. And you're supposed to be a pastor. Everything is in your head. It's not possible. Everything cannot be in your head. There's one man, he's a pathologist. I heard so much about him before I went. So I used to go visit him once in a while. One of the things that struck me about him is that I look on his shelf. I don't find the books. So I just told myself, this man is a dangerous pathologist. I was trained by teachers that taught me that a dangerous pathologist if you don't have books. There's another pathologist a little younger than him, also, old man now, above 60. That one, when I go to his office, and he just came back from abroad, so we'll be talking. Anytime he travels, he comes with a new book. This is the latest bloodstains. I got it when I went for that conference in Ontario, you know. So he guards it jealously. There was a time he had some issues with the management of that place. So you know the first thing he did? Evacuated his books. He kept on coming to work, but he evacuated all his books, took it home. So I don't know what you want to do tomorrow. You know, just come here and have this place locked. I'm not going to lock my books, you know, that kind of thing. So that is, he loved his books so much, I didn't have the guts to ask to borrow any one of them. Because I said, at my age, if I'm borrowing his book, he should think it that, go and buy your own. So if I get to his office, we'll sit down. I pull out the book. We'll look at it together. Yeah, this is the, okay. One day I brought a slide for him to help me look at. I said, well, I think this is a large cell lymphoma. Let's check. That's it. He just opened the shelf, pulled out the newest book on lymph node pathology he had, and began to read. After a while, he showed me that he was right. He said, Orimikwe, that is, he used to be saying about it. He was an Igbo man, you know. And he knows I'm Yoruba. So I said, Orimikwe, that is, my head is very correct. That is, the book confirmed that he was right. This man, at that time, had a 34-year experience doing that job. He had done the job that day we're speaking for 34 years. Yet, he will go to a book to see whether he's right. The other man entered his office. One day I came with a book. I came to his office, the other one. He said, which book is that? I said, it's the latest Akama. I said, okay, do they cite my work? Do they cite my work? Well, I looked at him. I said, this man cannot be corrected at this age. So I just left him. I stopped going to see him. Listen, I don't need to check his work. He has been deceiving a lot of people. They didn't realize it. I do that job, and I know very well. They said, this is a saying in it. They said, pathology with books is difficult. Without books, it is impossible. That's the way it said. Making tissue diagnosis, making calls of life and death for people. They say it's difficult with the books. The rule, in fact, my prof in Lagos then, he said, you people are high-powered pathologists. He's a professor. We are small boys just learning. He said, I enter your office. I see you holding over your microscope. I look on your left and your right. I can't find any book. What do you think you're doing? Now, he's a professor. And he looked at us like, what do you think you're doing? You call this pathology? That you're looking at this light. I look on your left, look on your right. I can't find anything. That he expects that if you're walking, books should surround you. You look down his light, you bring a book, you read a paragraph, continue your walk, and they understand it. So when I got to a place where a man said that, he thinks are in his head. I don't care how old you are. I don't think, you know, I've been in this academic thing. I know becoming a professor doesn't mean anything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean you are smart. Don't let the title professor impress you. That's the job I do. All right? It's half of it. Just means you've written something and published it. That half doesn't mean you know what is inside the thing you published. A lot of people who publish, they don't think. I'm not joking. I don't mean to demean the profession, all right? Being a professor means you have published. It's supposed to imply that you have done research, actually. But in our country today, the Lord is good. That's all I can say. What I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that what makes you a good preacher is, first of all, that you are a student of the word. Not that you are preparing sermons. You know, A lot of preachers, what they do is to prepare sermons. So when you give him a topic to preach, he looks for concordance. He's using words he's never heard before. He's preaching tomorrow. Today is the one that is learning the word for the first time. And the man in the pulpit say, I found out that the word for redemption is ex agorazo. Ex means out of, agora is market. And it means, itself, when you are hearing, you are tired. You are tired. You know now, you are tired. He just prepared this sermon. It didn't come from, it's an academic presentation, yes. It didn't come from inside him. It's not there. Why? Because he was not eating this thing before that day. Not everybody does the way I do. You know, don't put things. A lot of people use notes. And nothing wrong with notes. Nothing wrong with it. It depends on your own style. I'm just trying to say that it is not when they give you a topic, you now start researching to find out the truth you are going to preach on it. No, it's too late to discover truth. It's too late. It is too late. There are topics you give me to preach, and I just say simply, I don't know. I say, okay, please, sir, I want you to talk. Although, as a preacher, that's another thing. Let me tell you a trick. Any topic they give you, you will say what you like. I hope you know that. And nobody's Bible, we don't read down well. If you say, let's talk about the second coming of Christ. Ah. So people are expecting to hear the date and the time. Whether it is now. It's very simple. Before I would say, I don't want that topic. This is, I go accept them. Because I'm the ministry, it's not the topic. I hope you understand that. It is what the oil, you see, is what you see in me that you want to. I'm not going to study for you. Again, that's by the way. I'm not studying for anybody. No. Let me just quickly drop that one. As a preacher, I'm not studying for you. You can't fit your topic and I'll fit into your topic. You fix your topic, I'll come and fit into it. No. Your topic has to fit into my life. If it doesn't, my life overrules it. Yes. If you say that we are talking about boys and girls, the principle of relationships, no problem. I will get there. Most of the time, I won't accept your invitation. But in case I do, no problem. Boys and girls, praise God. The principle of relationship, the first and most important relationship before we can relate as members of the opposite sex and into marriage is relationship with God. Now, God in Christ Jesus. Now, the purpose for your life, I've reached my own. After talking about the purpose of boys' lives, the purpose of girls' life, how to connect with the Spirit, as I preach my message, when I now finish, I say, when you do this, you will marry a good wife, you will marry a good husband. And I will leave. And listen, it has never happened that the people are not blessed. It has never happened that they don't come saying, thank you, sir. It has never happened that they are not falling all over me, sir. Oh, God, thank you for coming, thank you for coming, even though I don't address their topic. I went to pray and they said, maximize your potential. I knew what they wanted to hear, but that's their problem. That's not what I wanted to preach. Sunday service, an Anglican church in Enugu, maximizing your potential. I said, praise God. The most important potential we have to maximize is to be like Christ. That's it. I don't reach my message. I said, we all have the potential to be exactly the image of God. Not many of us have acquired it. They thought I was talking about your potential and how to be successful in school. I said, nah, lie. My own today is maximizing your potential of Christ-likeness. I don't reach my topic. How the word works in you, how it builds you up. Because actually, you are, it's the kind of oil I conduct. How to read book, go and call somebody else. The kind of oil that me I conduct is what I produce everywhere I go. You cannot use your topic to sway me. One day, my wife was giving a topic to preach on. You cannot curse what God, you cannot bless what God has cursed. The idea is Malachi chapter 3. I said, well, you know, you be my wife. I know how you go take preacher. If you are not obeying God in your life, there's a curse working there. That's it now. You cannot bless what God has cursed. Eh? Obedience to the word of God is the first source of blessing. Praise God. You can't disobey God. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Many of us are giving offerings to collect blessing and we are denying God in other areas of life. You cannot bless what God has. No, don't preach my own. Look, I read your topic anyway, you like it. Now, the one where I won't preach, there I go preach you. Yes, the one that I was created to channel that one. You can't come and tell me, when I've been made to transport natural gas, you want to put diesel inside me. You didn't look for Wahala. Do you understand? If I'm supposed to carry petrol, you don't put natural gas inside there. You have to, if you can't turn the thing to liver, a lot of us don't realize it. There was the topic they gave you. He said, I should come and talk on how to find a good wife. Do you know anything about it? I don't know. There's no wahala. I'm kind thing. I'm telling you now, it's not bad. You just go there, say the thing. It's hard to find a good wife. Praise God. Today I've been told to talk on how to find a good wife. I just realized that a bad man can never find a good wife. So let me tell you about how to be a good man. Abi? Since you know that one, you preach that one. Forget, people, once they are blessed, they are blessed. They will find that topic another day. Once they are blessed, they are blessed. So that people, don't preach. Eh? You see? Which is true. Because the Holy Spirit work, you'll be surprised. And then the thing is that everybody has different issues. Why he's not finding a good wife is different from why the next guy is not finding a good wife. So, what am I trying to explain? So, we don't need to start studying to discover new truths you want to preach tomorrow. First of all, the minister is a student. Is a disciple. Constantly and continuously, he or she is feeding on the word of God. Again, let's get practical. You should read all the time. First of all, forget about preaching. That's what I'm talking about today. Be concerned about being preached to. Are you getting my point? Every man that has come into this world has an assignment that God has told him to do. And I think it's Derek Prince in his book, Rediscovering God's Church, that he said something. There are those, he was talking about different teachers of the Word of God, you know. He said there are those who, that the teaching ministry, that are those who just minister in small assemblies. That you find them a lot. It's a ministry also. A lot of them are part-time ministers. They're in churches. They maybe handle a Bible class. They do it faithfully and they're good. He said, but there are those that God sent to teach the whole body of Christ. That is, it's not just a local church. They teach, let's take a few examples, like Kenneth Hagin will talk about now, you know, Miles Morrow, as I want to talk about. That God sent them to preach to everybody. They are not just localized in one area. Uh-huh. Now, this is what I want to say. Each one of those people, especially when you've heard of them, there is something that God said they should go and tell you. I didn't say tell the whole body of Christ, but you. Now, let me say this. I believe strongly, as a preacher today, my number one person I recommend his materials is Kenneth Hagin. He has more instructions for preachers than anybody else I have personally read. And those are the books that speak directly to preachers that I listed in that recommendation just now. He never came to Africa apart from South Africa, I think. He was in South Africa once or twice, I don't know, once. And I'm not sure. He didn't come to any other part of Africa. He preached his message. I learned it. Never met him personally. I have a lot of his audio messages. I've read all his books, all, every single one, apart from daily devotionals. Is it Faith Something for Spring? Got all those daily devotionals. There's no other book he wrote I did not read. None. I've been saying this for years, and I've not seen any other one. Every book he put on paper, every word he put on paper, I read. Some of them I have read 20 times. Some I'm sure up to 50 times. Books like I Believe in Visions. I just read it all the time. I just pass. I just collect it again. I start reading it again. If I say this, it's going to make you laugh. Sometimes I'm going to the toilet and say, oh, who's still with me in the toilet now? Can I can come now? You know, go mind. That's one chapter. I'm telling you. I read it all the time. There are people like that. Miles Morrow, if you see Miles Morrow's life has been is a worldwide ministry. I've identified three messages. First, it came with the issue of potential. Then it came with the issue of purpose. Then it came with the issue of the kingdom. You can't tell me you're a minister. You've not read Miles Morrow on these three. It's not right. It is actually wrong. It's actually bad. A bad thing is a bad thing. Can't tell me you're a preacher. You say, okay. You know, you talk to preachers. You know Miles Morrow? Hey, is he not that guy from Bahamas? I could like a go slap. Can you die? The preacher is, first of all, a student. Paul says something. He said, we're comforted in our afflictions so that we can comfort those who are similarly afflicted with the same comfort with which we were comforted. This is what I'm making. If you have not been taught, you cannot teach somebody else. Do you understand that? You must be taught. You must be taught. The title pastor, look, once you reach your own house, drop it. You're not a pastor in your house. I hope you know that. You're a student in your own library. If I want you to come down like that, you're not a pastor again. That pastor thing is only when you are teaching. Once you come out for there, forget that title. You are constantly a disciple. You must be learning all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. And there's nothing like, I don't like the, I don't like white preachers. There's nothing like that, though. There's nothing like that. The one I say all the time, I give as an example, is one man who I know, that is this man, he preached that message in the 60s, so you can understand, called White Texan, all right? You abuse black people like this, eh? That these black people are primitive, I know, that is an insult. So I'll tell my wife, look at what he's saying. After I pointed to my wife a few times, that the man, they insult all of us. I said, then that's one. Then secondly, he's using some hard words, big English. After a while, my wife said, look, why are you listening to him now with all these complaints you have against the man? And I said, there are things that only him knows. Is that there are things that he's the only one that knows. I mean, I can't get to heaven now. God said, Banky, this is one part of ministry. He didn't do very well. I said, Lord, I've been trying. He said, no, you didn't get that one well. And you understand that. What helps you succeed is the word that's been built in your heart. All right? And he said, why didn't I do it well? Because I didn't know something. I said, but Lord, I didn't know that one now. He said, how come you don't know it? But I took Billy Akoni to tell you now. He said, Billy Akoni, he didn't come to my house. He didn't. Billy, you didn't come to his house. I did, sir. And then you now see the picture of the day a friend of yours came and said, where are you coming from? Billy Akoni came to town. He was teaching on this and this and this and that. I just say, that man, I don't like him. And you dismiss the truth that God sent through him. He didn't come personally, you understand? But he sent somebody. Somebody went to his meeting and came to your house. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And he said to you, where are you coming from? You said to him, where are you coming from? I'm coming from this place, and these are the things that are said. And I said, let me listen to the message. Like, give me one of the books. Let me just go through it. And you won't learn that. You don't learn that there's a part of ministry you will never be effective in. It's not like I don't listen to white preachers. I don't listen to people who shout. The man talks too slowly for me. Please, these are infirmities you must overcome. Personally, I don't like who talk too slowly. It's true that I don't like those who talk too slowly. But I listened to every message of the Red Prince I could lay my hands on. He talks slowly, but he talks sense slowly. If he's talking too slowly, I play it fast. It's simple, you know. No, you just go to your Windows Media Player. You see, just exactly. There's 1.5, 2, 3. I go speed you up. Unless I just, you know, there are people you listen to two or three times, say he's shouting so much, there's nothing he's saying. So that one is different, you know, there are people you listen, say, why is he shouting so much? You tune your ear. What is he saying? After a while, your ear won't buzz, you have not heard anything. I say, bros, I reserve my ear for those who are going to tell me something. But if you are shouting too loud and you are saying something, I reduce the volume. Talking too fast, you are saying something, will slow you down. Are you getting my point? No, that's just the way it is. One of my friends, Brother Sen, said he's very angry with white preachers right now. I said, but this man has a word of healing. Let's hear him. He's white, I know. We'll still hear him. Please, my emphasis today is that a preacher is, first of all, a student. And there's nothing like I'm too busy. Busy, look, you shouldn't be too busy. You shouldn't be too busy. You should make time out, you know. I know I'm digressing a bit, but you know, like this, look, people call me and say, this is the reason why I can't come and all of that. I say, wait. Just make the time out ahead of time. If you carve out that time, you start planning things around it. Do you get what I explain? And that's why a lot of people are able to come, not because they don't have anything they are doing, because they have carved out the time.
In the same manner as a preacher, you say, oh, I can't, I don't have time to read. No, I have to do this, I have to do that. You have to do this because you decided to do them. I hope you know that being a pastor is not the same thing as being an administrator. Yeah. It's not. Anybody can administer your church. Anybody. Once he's an honest believer, he's good enough. Employ him. A lot of people say they are in ministry. What kind of ministry? Some are in baptizing ministry, naming ministry, funeral ministry, wedding ministry. I say, yeah, ministry. Oh, fine. So today, what are you doing? We are doing naming. Tomorrow, what are you doing? It's funeral. The following day, what is it? It is wedding. What is he doing? We are having every day, he's not in the preaching ministry. Those are deacon jobs. God, Miles Moore was the first one to explain this to me. That's the job of deacons, not the job of pastors. Our churches are poorly run these days. That's not the job for deacons. You're going for naming, you're going for this, you're going to say, not lie. You have elders in church that do such things. You trust Bishop Oyedepo. Which name you see? You find Bishop Oyedepo the name. Maybe you're born under Jesus Christ, maybe. But you're born normal human being. I'm not sure if people could get that kind of time these days. But naming is there going on. No, really, as a pastor, there are things you just tell yourself, you know they do. That if you are too busy. I'm not doing. Like, there's one little rule I have in Kingdom of God Ministries. I don't know you, I don't counsel you. In fact, please, sir, I want to ask you a question. In fact, it's always very funny. People say, hey, good afternoon, sir. Please, I want to ask you a question. I say, eh? Who are you? I just say, hey, Inka, Israel, come. Do you know this person? They go, look, no, sir. I say, I'm not going to answer your question. We'll be laughing, though, but I'm not going to answer you. Hey, please, I say, I don't know you. I'm not going to answer. Hey, Inka, answer him, answer him. If you don't have an answer for him, ask me later, okay? And as I push Inka in your direction, and I walk in the other direction. You think, is this guy serious? Believe me, I'm serious. Many people that I get to talk to, they say, please, sir. There's some guy say, have you read this book? No. They have it there. Go and read it. When you finish reading, they will come back. 8 times out of 10, they don't come back. They'll tell me, I've read the book. I don't have to talk to you anymore. One young man came to see me once. He came all the way from somewhere in Kogi State. He had listened to me so much. So, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have read all your books. Sir, I have listened to all your messages on your website. I've listened to you for the last 7 years, sir. If he says so, sir, you can answer me. He knew me so well. He knew I wasn't going to talk to him. He first introduced himself that there's nothing you have said I haven't heard. And now I have a question. He said, sit down. You're my guy. When he sat down, the first thing he told me is that, wait, you will talk to me. I know you will talk to me because I have listened. Yes. Because what I tell people is that, why should I preach a message I've preached to the whole world? I will not preach it to only you. What do you think you are? My God? You're not my God. I shouldn't give you that kind of attention. I have preached something to everybody. I will not start explaining to only you. When the woman says, sir, I need to talk to you, sir. I said, me? Talk to me. Yes, sir. You know, there are many issues. I said, shh, behave yourself. See, we're downstairs to that building. Saturday, I talk to everybody. Tuesday, I talk to everybody. You want to talk to me? Join the congregation. Don't stop wasting my time. That's why D.T. Jakes wrote Woman Thou Art Lost. He said, if counseling everybody... What I'm talking about this is that I don't waste my time counseling people. You come for counseling, I'm not talking to you. I will not talk to you. I'm not... One boy came all the way from Osaka one day. He begged. I refused. I was looking at him like this. Please, sir. Resemeka, talk to him. If you have any question, you ask me. He traveled down. He was there. I just carried my bag and I left. Because if I start preaching to every stranger that shows up, all I will do that is in the whole day. You know, that's what wanted to kill Moses. Go and listen to my series, The Survivor and the Death of Moses. I said, no, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm sorry. It's my response all the time. If you like, cry. Hey, sir, I have problems. I say, I'm sure Israel and Yinka can solve it. As I'm telling you like that, I face somebody else. Who do I say you don't talk to anybody? No, I do. Like, you've gotten my point. I only talk to those who have learned the things I've said to everybody. And beyond that, they still have a question. And then we talk. That has limited the things I have to do. That's my advice to preachers. It's not everything you get involved in. A little bad name is not bad for you. What I mean? Don't mind him. He doesn't come for weddings. It's good for you. Don't mind him. If you invite him for every party, no good come. That's not the kind of bad name that God said you shouldn't have.
Your bad name shouldn't that you steal. they catch you in secret places with strange people. You don't join PDP and you are now swearing oaths. That's the kind of name that's bad for you as a Christian. But that you decided to free your time as a preacher now, specifically, so that in the midst of all the activities you are involved in, you are still learning. And these days, no, technology has made life easy. Technology has made life extreme. In fact, one of my friends, they sell materials on SD cards, those tiny SD cards of phones. He was telling me that what they just do is that you can pack messages into it, and that's it. Put in a card, label it. You buy the card, put it into your phone. That's it. That's how he packages materials now. Just sell it on SD cards. Just carry it, copy it onto cards, then label it. Those tiny cards, 2 gig cards, they are not expensive. 2 gig can pack material. So that why do they use SD cards? So that you just open your phone, slide it in, clip. That's it. Everything is there. Technology makes it easy. A lot of us drive around. That's all your car stereo is for. It's not for the bunch. It's not for Two-Face. Even Don Moen has a queue. He has to join the queue behind serious preaching. God has given us so much technology. A preacher shouldn't be ignorant. These days, you see, preachers think that I wear a very nice suit. It makes me a good preacher. You open your mouth, your suit inside your tongue is bad. It's tattered, it's torn, it's not working well. They didn't sew it properly. That's the suit inside the mouth. But you have a good suit on the body. Once he opens the mouth like this, the tie is not well knotted. You just see all the seams of the jacket. That is, ignorance is, And that's one of the things I find these days. Let me just drop this. I will begin to round up what I'm saying. These people don't balance the word well because they don't know it. Let me say it like again. They get swayed. One of the ones I found recently is, one day I was with some people, they were talking about how one man of God, some of us who are very aware of these things, you know, the person, he preached one powerful sermon and everybody was moved. My God! Then decided changing their ministries to feed that sermon. And that sermon was a fat lie, scripturally speaking. I heard them discussing it. Oh, the man said that you will start having broken homes if your father was a slave trader because it's a spirit soul. You need to look. And people were saying, my God, say analysis. One man, my wife and I love listening to. One day he showed up in town. I was disappointed. I wanted to go and say, bros, you don't join them too. You won't go far like this. People do those things because of ignorance. That's what I want to make. It's ignorance. That's why I'm talking about it. Because you don't know. I'm talking about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Any new thing that comes to town. There's a pastor down my street now. In the last few weeks, I've been hearing him shout, die, 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 die. I said, why? He's looking for congregation. And since MFM and Father and Baka are dying people everywhere, and they are gathering large people, maybe you think that is the new move. I'm bringing an issue here. If you don't have understanding yourself, you find it difficult to balance new doctrines that come to town. You join the bandwagon. The only defense about this thing, that's from all these confusions or soul, is understanding. What did I call it? Understanding. For you to have understanding, and this thing doesn't just show up by itself. What's my preaching this morning? That we must be disciplined to first of all be disciples. That's why people don't come swaying you with testimonies. Some people don't even know that they are what they call familiar spirits. So somebody calls GSM number, you are surprised, you are impressed. Who? My God, the man just called GSM number. At the end of the day, there'll not be money take and collect. You understand what I'm saying? And Christians are moved. Preachers are moved. That's the one that's surprised. Preachers are moved because, you know, sometimes, there's something Kenneth Hagin said in this book. What's the name of this book now? Well, many of his books, he said it, especially Triumphant Church. Talking about deliverance ministry, which is still popular in Nigeria till today. He said that, look, that when he sees some of these things, he laughs. That people think it's new. That's not new. That they come every 20 years. Yes, Kenneth Hagin said that, like, it's a cycle. That every 20, that they'll soon wear out. Then after people are tired of them, people will forget. Then somebody will discover it again. Then they start again. That is every 20 years. That he also did it as a small boy, as a young preacher. So we did loosening meetings.
deliverance meetings, setting free meetings, getting free meetings, you know, breaking the bondage meetings. That we did, they lay hands, did that. It's after a while, they realize this is not the will of God, it's not the word of God. And people want to queue up to make those mistakes again. There's a popular saying that those who don't know history, in them, history repeats itself. Young preachers, there are mistakes they shouldn't be making. People made them beforehand. I say it all the time, the gospel of Solomon is that I have made all the mistakes for you people, don't make it. That's Ecclesiastes. You want to get drunk? Guy, please, don't bother. I have drank on your behalf. That's what Solomon said. You want to chase many women? Don't bother. I have done it for you. And I'm telling you, it is what? Vanity. I want to be acquiring property. Why are you bothering? I have done it. Go and check. I built houses until I couldn't count the houses. I was building like something, like my people would say, like birds. Build on this tree, nest everywhere. I found out that it is what? Vanity. Somebody told me that Gio Oduyemi, I was at the meeting that Don Odunze, that's the original Don Odunze, not his son, was preaching. That shortly before he died too. He said that before Oduyemi died, he went to see him one day in Lagos. He took him to his car garage, like I think it's underground or somewhere. You see cars, you know the kind of cars that when you see, you will worship, say, Father God, hallelujah, praise be to Jesus, amen. You know, those kind of things. Said the man pointed. Some of them knew, never driven them. They're just there. Said the man pointed and they say, see all of these things? They are nothing. They are vanity. He died a few days after that. And, I mean, these things have been recorded. We don't seem to have learned. Are you getting my point? Listen, the only way these mistakes will not repeat themselves in your life as a preacher is that you read. Is that you do what? You read. And that's what I'm emphasizing. Let me say it again. The preacher is first and foremost a what? A student. Ministry is not something. I was saying before that that's one of the advantage we had. Because when we started studying the Word of God, we're not even planning to preach. It was just the in thing. It was the vogue thing that time when we were in school. You know, like, if you read this book? Hey, you don't read this book? So, all new rev. So, we studied just to know things. Nobody was giving you a platform. You are not planning to pastor a church. Nothing. You just had to know things. And it's a culture we must have to. I meet preachers a lot of times. In fact, one example I give is that I was a resident doctor in Luth. I went to Ado-Ekiti. One big minister was coming to town to come and do an evangelistic crusade, so he sent some men ahead. So I was explaining, I was discussing with those men. They were older than me in age. We're discussing, I was telling them stories. And this was what happened in their mouth. Are you serious? Hey! Eh? And I was looking at the talk, that everything I said, they had not heard before. I would mention a name, they hadn't heard it before. I would describe something that happened, they hadn't heard it before. And I said, you people are full-time preachers. Then what do you do? Running up and down. You know, cram how you hear somebody else pray. Come and repeat the prayer. There are those, that's what they do. They watch TV, say, hey, man, see the way Bishop Oyedepo is moving. They are cramming the movement. They cram the way it lasts. I said, poverty is not my portion. They won't learn how to pronounce poverty. I've seen preachers that squeeze the, you know, there's influence. You watch somebody so much, you do it unconsciously. But there are those who just, they go there. When does he move? When does he drop his microphone? When does he pull it up? And then they squeeze their eyes like Bishop. Bishop's eyes is not because he drank anything. That's just the way his eyes are. He's just like that. And it has nothing to do with his anointing. You don't have to squeeze your eyes like him. No. Please, though, I think I've said about everything I have to say. The preacher is first of all what? A disciple. Is first of all a student. Is first of all a learner. Don't forget this. Every big, in quote now, big, not as in popularity, but the fact that they have message for everybody. Every one of them, those teachers, have something that is supposed to be part of your life. Let me add this one to it. Just by the way, I've talked about studying the Word of God, but let me just add this one to it. You must also be informed generally. It's part of effective ministry. You can imagine the embarrassment I have a lot of times when I see testimonies. There's testimonies delivered from Staphylococcus. You know, I'm embarrassed. Because I'm a doctor. And I know there's no disease so-called. And a big ministry will print it first page. Delivered from Staphylococcus. You know, you want to hide that. Are you a Christian? No, I don't know him. You know that kind of Peter's kind of denial. It's an embarrassment because there's no disease so-called. It's a hype developed by herbal medicine people to sell their herbs. One day I went to preach somewhere. I didn't go to preach. I went to attend a wedding. One of my doctors was getting married. So I went to their village somewhere in Suka area. So one guy now saw me. He was so happy to see me. So he came to greet me. At the end of the night, he wanted to ask me some questions. I asked whether I can come and see me. I said, what's the problem? He says, medical issue. He said, he has staphylococcus. I laughed. So, you know, it was one of my doctors getting my, one of my residents. So another one was sitting behind me. I just said, Dr. Zigwe, come. So that one came. Yeah, yes, sir. I said, is there any disease because of staphylococcus? He said, no, sir. I said, thank you. You can go. So the boy was sitting on my right side. He said, but sir, they did test. I said, what's the problem here? Sometimes he describes some things. I said, Dr. Zigwe, I want to say, yes, sir. I said, when do people have this kind of problem? He said, when they are worried. I said, thank you. No problem. He will sit down again. I said, did you hear that? he will describe another thing. I'll call that guy. I said, Dr. Zigwe, please come. They will repeat everything he said to me to the other guy. And I said, no, there's nothing like that, sir. I said, thank you. He said, they bought the conscious of local. I said, Dr. Zigwe. I'll call him again. Can I call your staphylococcus from any place? He said, yes, sir. You can call them from skin, from nose, and it doesn't mean I'm sick. He said, no, it doesn't mean you're sick, sir. I said, thank you very much. I said, I hope you're hearing all these things. I said, oh boy, there is nothing wrong with you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Yeah, they have told him that he's going to have the kind of problem he's going to have in life. Those people, they know how to scare you. They say he will have weak erection and he will not be able to impregnate his wife when he marries. I said, laughing. One guy told me, he's afraid it's already happened. I said, who helped you measure it? He got my point. I said, get away from here, my friend. One reason that, please, as preachers, you should be informed. You must know what's going on in the world. Sometimes I hear preachers write on medical issues. As to prove doctrine, please, if you don't know it, don't embarrass the rest of us. If you have a question, call somebody who's enlightened in that area and ask him. A preacher must be informed. You must be informed. You can't don't know what is going on around. And they make it look like preaching is a cult of ignorant people who deceive themselves. They don't know who's the president of America. No. As a preacher, we should be fully informed. We don't understand how to interpret the word of God in the light of the things that are going on. People are looking for answers. They have confusion. And they come to the preacher, they want to know. And what am I saying today? The preacher must have understanding. He can't afford. You're not there to perform. Your performance is just for yourself. You go and cram out to speak smooth English. Know when to raise your voice and drop it. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is that you have something that you want to put into people's lives. And the only way you can have it is to constantly fill your own heart with it. I think I've said everything I have to say to us this morning. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you learned anything, say amen.
Amen.
Most importantly now, we take questions. Specifically, please, questions. We're not asking for contributions now. Just question. If you have any question, anything you want to ask, please go ahead and ask. Then we'll now start responding and discussing based upon that before we go to the next subject.